この街を生きていく術なんだ。果てない夢を見てる君だって見てるはず。遠いようでずっと近くに、君だって見えるはず。普段言えないことも口にしてみること。
Hey everyone, welcome back to Captain Earth 23 and 24. We have a little bit of a kind of a, I don't know, 23 is kind of boring, but we're going to go ahead and talk about it. And 23 is a Midsummer Night's Dream, and basically it follows Daichi for, I guess, 90% of the story. And it's him reliving the events of episode 1 again, I guess you could say, but through different characters pairing up.
Yeah, just take out all the people he met except for his uncle figure or his father's friend and replace them with all the planetary gears.
Right, yeah, that's true. That's pretty much what 23 was. Just him experiencing this, you know, dreamlike world that it maybe he, what if he didn't become a captain for Globe and he just, you know, went on this with his daily life. But mm-hmm. Yeah, like you said, he runs into planetary gears and each of them he has kind of like a 5-minute thing with each of them. In the beginning it's Mocha and Amra and Ai together and they're kind of talking to him.
I thought at first, like you said, it was a bit boring or a bit of a waste of time, especially mm-hmm. when you're trying to throttle down towards a finale on a mech show. But everything has a breather episode before you go into the full throttle. And now that I think about it, the ideas they expressed with him, it's like, you know, you can stop doing this, or you can do something else, or you can mm-hmm. come with us, that they expressed in the long form right. in episode 23 would play on or play in later to some of the stuff that was happening in 24.
Right, definitely. Even gets in a taxi cab with some random guy, and the taxi driver asks him if he could repeat a day in your life, would you want to do it differently? And Daichi's like, that's kind of boring. He wouldn't want to do that. He would just, I guess, keep going where he was going, or something like that.
If it were like an old choose-your-own-adventure book where uh-huh. I could like kind of put my finger into both paths, and then kind of keep my fingers or bookmarks in there, and then read and go, oh, I hate this one, and go back to where my other bookmark was and read that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
But like, I'd want to go back to my save point.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, Route A, you know, you're going to get this item. Route B, you're probably going to get killed. And so it's like, I'd rather go with the one where I'm not going to die and go the other way. But yeah, definitely like you're saying, it does hint towards things later on. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of interesting. And besides meeting the, you know, different each gear, he kind of talked with them, and Daichi eventually regains control through, like, a festival game, a shooting gallery, and I'm like, yeah, of course, he gets his glide bluster back and wakes up, and he returns to the normal world, just in time to, I guess, blow up this big space satellite that Salty Dog was using last week.
That was actually kind of smooth, because, you know, you see that game played in every single episode that they have a festival in. They always go for those little pop gun games. Yep. And, you know, the game's always rigged because no one can ever shoot that tiny little cork with his little pressure behind it, never knock off their prize or anything like that. But
the best one I've seen is Ninja Joe, where the girl is trying to hit the piece of fruit or something, vegetable, and there's a nail sticking mm-hmm. through the whole thing, nailing it. It's pretty funny. Yeah, that one, it's always a shooting game.
He the game was rigged, but he brought the live blaster with him this time, except for having to settle for the cork gun.
Right, and then, in a way, I think Hana kind of saves him, too. He remembers her first, because, you know, obviously she's special to him, so he remembers her. And kind of like opposite, you know, he saved her from the bloom, now she saved him from his being trapped in his dream world, so kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. Kind of nice to change, she actually saves him in a sort of different way, but yeah.
Even the captain needs to be saved.
Yeah, pretty much. And then from that, we jump right into 24, which picks up right after Daichi wakes up, and you know they're on the way to laugh at your anus, basically, where we're headed. And,
Uranus. You can just use the British pronunciation and say Uranus.
There you go.
But they do have to make a pit stop at one of Of Saturn's moons, Hyperion.
Yeah, moon, right. They stop halfway there and fight Bugbear, who...
Which...
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
As far as science fiction, as far as pure science fiction is concerned, they made some assumptions on Hyperion, because as of yet, we've only had the Cassini probe go by it a couple times, but never enough to be able to get a decent idea of what its composition is and how it has those weird formations and stuff like that, kind of spongy looking. And
right.
Captain Earth, it's just completely made of ice. So it's like, yeah, well, good for, you know, science will probably march on and prove them wrong, but, you know, good for that.
Yeah, and the ice seems kind of neat. I mean, it gives them a chance to fight, and Bugbear goes all out against Daichi. And, you know, it seems one-sided for a bit until Tepe magically teleports in and saves Daichi.
I love that moment he had. He says, wait a second, I'm experiencing a sense of ass-kicked deja vu here. Who did? Oh, it was that one guy.
Yeah,
I love that flashback.
That was pretty funny. I mean, it's like,
where have I had this kind of ass-kicking before?
Right, Daichi, as a mech pilot, he's pretty much not the best. I'd say he's still pretty novice at it, but yeah, it was fun. Tepe is there to save him, so he jumps in there and teleports, saves him, and they move on to the actual planetary gear mothership, which is massive. It's bigger than the Bloom. You know, if you thought the Bloom was huge, wait till you see the you know, mothership. And when they get inside, it's like a planet, basically, I would think, right?
If I can bring back science, they made up what Hyperion is made of, but they did show Uranus on a tilted angle. They showed the rings on a tilt.
Right, yeah.
I kind of geek out over things like that.
Oh, that's
like,
cool,
oh,
yeah.
They did that. They did that. They put it on its side. It has a side tilt. Yay! I mean, I geek out about things like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's pretty nice. And like I said, they break in, and it's like another world, basically. That's because it's like a big old planet inside this, you know, other ship. It's huge.
It's everything you expect from what you get from the planetary gears and you know, from the Kiltganger, whichever you want to call them. It's, you know, very austere, very empty.
Oh, yeah,
somewhat vague. You know, you don't really know exactly what you're looking at because it's so huge.
Yeah, it's like crystals and there's smoke and there's just, it's empty. Mm-hmm. And like you said, there's just nothing much there. But until you get to the center, it's like this, I guess, hub for like the gears where their bodies are kept, because there's like six different colors, you know, surrounded by these spikes or whatever. So yeah, I guess that's where their original bodies are kept. And speaking of the gears, they arrive just in time to kick some more ass and Set Snacks revives Bugbear, which is kind of cool. I guess shows her power that she can revive. If you take out a gear, she can revive them. So it kind of shows you that why she's the queen, why she's the leader. So
yep.
And, you know, they start a fight, and to everyone's surprise, well, not my surprise, I knew it was going to happen, Puck arrives and does his little final gloat and reveals his plan as he's the main villain, you know.
I was strictly concentrated with Puck being manipulating things on Earth and playing his own game down there, which might have eventually dovetail into something that the planetary gears would do on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it did kind of take me by surprise a little bit.
Yeah, well, I mean, they've been building up for a long time that Puck, you know, he's been, you know, secretly behind the back of the gears and the humans, so he's kind of his own faction by himself. And in the episode, they've been keep hinting towards he wants immortality, you know that kind of whole thing, and jumping into people's bodies. So it kind of tells you that that's his MO, I guess. He wants to take over the universe and basically download his mind into all these bodies, so he can be in multiple places at once. So he wants to be, I guess, God, basically, is what you consider it.
That's an interesting idea, but I saw that in the David Tennant, 10th Doctor episode.
Yeah.
Basically, when Tennant left, the Master basically more or less put himself into everyone on Earth, and that was kind of ridiculous.
Right. It kind of
It was almost full pantsu on head ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, it reminds me of the Matrix. Anyone can be Agent Smith, anytime they want. It's like, oh my god.
Trying to get away from the Matrix a little
bit,
you know?
Yeah, no. But yeah, Puck's there, and he just starts blasting the gears, and just, I think he killed Bugbear. I think.
He blew killed Bugbear, and he killed Larion.
Right, yeah, he blew up the crystal. Yeah. And apparently, if you blow up the crystal, it's like, I guess, a very high energy
atom bomb.
Atom bomb. And, yeah, so he's picking on one by one, and Daichi steps up to, you know, I guess, save one of them, or whatever, and then Puck, you know, fakes like he's dead, and reveals his final form, you know, like this big-ass cube I'm like, okay.
Nani?
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Yeah. It felt like I don't know what they're doing. He was talking about, or they were talking about, being able to make anyone into a gear.
Anyone. Right, yeah, that's right, I forgot.
But you can't be using them stinking live lasters. So there's this weird alien racial war going on and different stuff like that, you know, because apparently they're prejudiced against guns.
Yep.
I don't know. But it took something from a live laster. I guess Puck was imprisoned, and it took a weapon that opposes him to be able to break it apart.
Yeah, it's kind of like when Tepe, when he blew up his crystal thing first. Doing that basically freed him from being a gear. So I'm guessing Puck might be the same way. He needs like an ultimate power to like free him from that. Maybe to shatter his his fake avatar, and then he gets to become the real version.
Oh yeah, and apparently, being able to travel through hyperspace, or Entangle Link, apparently means you're a higher being.
Right, yeah, because only a few, select few can do it, I guess.
I guess going crazy or living in an infinite dreamland while they're traveling through it.
Right, so if Akari and Daichi went by themselves, they would have been screwed because they couldn't wake up if Hana and Tepe weren't there. So I guess it brings back the whole human-alien pairing that we've had since episode, I think, one. So I guess it's pretty interesting. And like Puck was wanted to turn Daichi into a gear. And even the gears try to recruit him. So it's like, everyone wants, Daichi, then that's it. They don't want Akari.
I want Akari. I'll take Akari.
Yeah. But yeah, Puck reveals his final form. It's like I said, a big cube with teeth. And I'm guessing they're setting up for the final battle for last episode, but it seemed kind of weird that the preview was basically telling us that Puck took over Hana's body and they were going back to Earth. So maybe they kind of sped through the final battle with Puck, I don't know.
Well, that was like, they pretty much, I mean, that narration for the preview almost felt like the narration for the beginning of a new show.
Yeah, it almost felt like another arc was going to be like here in a couple episodes. Like they could almost hint towards a movie if they wanted to,
A movie, or they could go what is probably becoming more and more unusual these days into or not so unusual these days is 51 episodes.
Right. Yeah, they could easily do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it could be the whole how did this Daichi and Tepe and everyone else get back to Earth if Hana and the Blue Mark are missing? So it's like now he's got to find a way to get to Earth. So they could go on these space adventures trying to get back to Earth. And get there, and Earth's already taken over by Puck. He's already the leader.
Sometimes you come up with an incredibly big story,
right?
And you realize, wow, you can't tell that all in one go. And so you have to tell a mildly smaller story, but still big one,
right,
as a preface to the incredibly huge one. That's how George Lucas worked. Apparently, if you believe him, that is. I still believe he made it up as he went along.
Yeah. So, at least two episodes, which one, I mean, both were interesting, but, I mean, what did you think of the last 24?
That was pretty good. It was pretty good. I mean, let's face it, a little bit of, Captain Earth is pretty darn clumsy at times when you get right down to it for me. I enjoy it. I very much enjoy it. And I like some of this, as they're talking about alien races, expressing themselves different is a really, I love that idea. I always have loved the idea that there's no guarantee that if we meet an alien race that they're going to be looking exactly like us, even though it's probably more likely when you get right down to it, considering that all the stuff which makes up Earth would probably make up all the stuff that would make up another planet out there that could have a civilization. But, it's like, what did that civilization do to make themselves into galactus-like vampires where they had to come and suck everyone's libido dry.
Right.
Or make them turn into a gun.
Right, or make them, dominant where they have to take over other people's planets, like, Aldno Zero, for instance. The Martians in there are kind of the same as the Gears, minus the vampire parts. But they just want to take over Earth because it's there, it's food source. The whole alien thing you said is interesting. In anime, we don't really see aliens as aliens. We usually see them as humanoid characters.
Bumpy foreheads, right, that sort of thing.
Yeah, 90% of the time, they look just like every other anime character. Which is kind of why it's hard to take some of the Martians on Aldno Zero kind of series, because they look like humans. It's like, you know,
because they are.
Yeah, because they are. So it's kind of, but Captain Earth, you know, we actually have like a live luster and the gears, and they're not exactly human either. So you know, they some of them look that way. But for me, I think 24 is turning into like the final episodes of Star Driver, where you had the enemies that fought Takato in the beginning. Yeah, they have to join forces and help each other out to take out the real threat, which is Puck. In this one.
Apparently, the writers of Star Driver never quite got that sort of trope out of their system.
No, they didn't. They put it in. Even
and
in.
Even
in, I think, Elreka 7 AO, the enemies eventually have to help each other out and stop and, you know, work together to fight someone else. So, but definitely, I could see that. It's a bone thing. And even in Fullmetal Alchemist, I remember they did the same thing. There's a couple of villains that have to stop and team up at the end to help. So. It's very. I think it is very generic, kind of silly. But
I, you know, as far as you know, storytelling tropes can get overused. I kind of like that one the way, as long as it isn't ham-fisted or badly handled, because it's a neat idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really neat idea because it offers the fact that characters can change, that we can change, and we can get fresh perspectives and different stuff like that. That you know, oh, we were diametrically opposed, and we worked these things out, and now we're kind of, you know, bristling towards each other, but, you know, we got to go kick this guy's ass because, you know.
He's a threat to us.
We hate him, don't we?
Yeah.
That's the one thing we got in common. We hate that guy.
Yeah.
Let's go kick that guy's ass.
Everyone hates Puck, that's for sure. So now I'm wondering, like, after they beat Puck, what the gear's going to do next? Are they going to leave Earth alone or ally with Earth or move on to some other planet to find a new food source? Or
and
are they just going to become like Tepe?
Secretary.
You know?
Or do you think that one secretary is going to, you know, I remember we were theorizing
yeah,
early
true.
On, she could be the unfired Chekhov's gun at this point, and she could just smack Puck down on
right.
Earth, but I doubt that's going to happen, considering that he was up there in the cradle or whatever. What do they call it again?
I forget what they call it.
The cocoon.
Yeah, it's something
the
like
cocoon.
That. But
that's his final form.
Yeah, probably. He's probably another final form without that, just like the Dragon Ball Z thing. The always one's got another form, always. So yeah, episode 25 is the final, and we're going to talk about, I guess, the whole series as a whole next time we get together. Maybe bring in Highway or some other people. We'll see. But yeah, for Skyline and myself, talk to you guys next week with the final episode.
始まりを追いかける手をつなぐ